Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we just thank you for this time and for the message. We put them into your hands. Whatever's from you, Lord, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, just let it go its own way. In Jesus' name, we ask for your blessing. Amen. For the past several weeks, we've been considering God's love. So far, we've seen that the love of God is not an attribute that God possesses. Love is the essence of his being. God doesn't just love, God is love. He is the source of love, the causal effect. If he was to remove himself from our presence, all love would go with him. Maybe that's the very definition of hell, existence without God, which means existence without love. Next, we saw that God loves the world. There is no one who is unloved by God. Scripture says that God so loved the world that he gave his son to save it. Jesus said, I came to seek and save those that are lost, not those that are his. Jesus gave his life for the lost, and there's no greater love than that, than a man lay down his life for another. Now, last time we saw that God has a particular love for those who turn to him and accept the love he has so graciously offered, those who choose to receive his love and then return it back to him. Scripture says two things. We love because he first loved us, and then it also says, I love those who love me. This apparent contradiction is fully rectified by the deeper love God has for those who love him. Scripture explains God's love for his own in terms of the love of a groom has for his bride and the love a father has for his child. Scripture also tells us that this is the very definition of amazing love, that God loves us as deeply as he loves the Son, and that Jesus loves us as deeply as he loves the Father. This is how deeply you are loved by God. Just in case this isn't sinking in yet, there is no shortage of scriptures that expound upon God's love for those that are called by his name. Psalms 18:9 says that he loves us so much that he bowed the heavens and he came down to us. Isaiah 49:16 says he loves us so much that he engraved us upon the palms of his hands. Your God has your name tattooed on him, and he will never remove it, and he will never regret it. Isaiah 54:10 says, for the mountains may be removed and the hills may shake, but my loving kindness, and boy do I love that word, loving kindness, kindness that comes from love, will not be removed from you, and my covenant of peace will not be shaken, says the Lord who has compassion on you. No matter what happens on heaven or earth, the peace and compassion that God grants to us will never leave or fade, because they are the products of his kindness that God's love for you produces. Psalms 103:11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. Fear in this sense means revere, to know, to value, and we'll talk more about that next week. The unfathomable quality, quantity, the uncountable number, the unknowable amount, this is how God's love for his own is tallied. However much you think or believe that God loves you, it is always much, much more. So what is the practical application to our lives of this great and amazing love that God has for us? What does it do for us in this very moment, in this very place? What does his love for us have to do with our lives? We need look no further than the next two verses of Psalms 103 to find the answer. Remember, it said this in 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Just as the Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. Here, God uses the same type of unfathomable analogy that he used for his love to describe his forgiveness. Your sin has been removed from you completely and totally, removed by love. The only thing that remains of your sin is the wisdom that you have gained through your failures and the constant lie that Satan continues to whisper in your ear. You cannot be forgiven for that. Your slate, your past, has been wiped clean by the hand of love. Your future is assured because of love. Mercy deals with what you were. Grace deals with what you are now and what you will eternally be. God's love did not redeem us to leave us as we are. The same love that saved you is the same love that will completely sanctify you and make you perfect. Not only will your sins be removed as far as the east is from the west, sin itself will be removed from you just as far as the east is from the west. Why? Because he loves you and he knows the despair that sin has caused you to suffer in your life. He removes sin from you and he removes you from sin. 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Love is so powerful that it overwhelms sin, not just a sin, but all sin, a multitude. There is no sin that love cannot cover. There is no rebellion greater than God's affection. We are all the prodigal son, the one who left, not the one who stayed home. And we are all welcomed back by the love that has never left. The sin that you cannot shake, the sin that makes you despise yourself, also the sins that you think very little of, even the sins that the world accepts, are all covered by the love of God and the amazing grace that amazing love produces. Proverbs 10:12 says, hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. There's nothing you've done, nothing you will do, that love cannot cover. Unless you believe that your depravity is greater than his love, unless you believe that what you can do can overwhelm what God is. And if you believe this, perhaps you need to find another God, because the one you have now ain't much of a God. In the Hebrew language, the word covers is used 150 times in the New American Standard. It's kasah, K-A-S-A-H. And it's interesting how it's translated. Concealed 9 times, covered 126 times, engulfed. It uses forgive, hide, and my favorite is overwhelm. The same word is translated that way, overwhelm and engulf. Proverbs 17:9 says, he who conceals a transgression seeks love. Now think about this. This verse turns Proverbs 10:12, the one I just read, around and says the same thing backwards. The one who covers a sin is seeking love. So God not only covers sin because he loves, he covers sin because he wants to be loved by us. Love is plural in nature. It cannot be expressed or enacted without another to receive and return it. Love requires another. God sends out his love to be returned. This world was created so God can express his love and receive your love back. What does God get out of this epic creation effort? All he gets is you and your love for him. And that is exactly what he always wanted. Someone to love and someone to return love. Being God, he gets what he wants. That's you. Psalms 32:1-2. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in those whose spirit there is no deceit. Who've admitted the truth, that there is no deceit is important. Those who have admitted the truth about themselves. No matter what other blessings this life affords you, they are meaningless without God's forgiveness. If God does not cover your sins, you're not blessed at all in any way. What does it profit a man if he gains the world and loses his soul? There are none of us who are not contaminated with sin. We are all equally burdened with our own iniquity. If God were to impute our iniquity to us, no one of us could stand. We all need our sins to be covered by the love of God, because we cannot cleanse ourselves. Jeremiah 2:22-23 puts it a unique way. And I've told you this 100 ways at different times. It's a little bit different. Although you wash yourself with lye and use soap, the stain of your iniquity is before me, declares the Lord God. How can you say, I'm not defiled? I have not gone after Baal. Look at your way in the valley. Look at your way when things are good, when you don't need me. Know what you have done. That's the beginning of forgiveness. Know what you have done. You are a swift young camel entangled in her way. The love of God matters because your love for yourself cannot cover your sin. No matter what you do, you cannot clean yourself. Being good does not negate being bad. Cutting your neighbor's grass does not square you with giving your other neighbor the finger. You cannot earn forgiveness. Know this. God's love, grace, and mercy are all completely ill-deserved. There's deserved, undeserved, and ill-deserved. We are ill-deserved in the grace of God. Facing what you have done and who you are is the only way God's love deals with it. Repentance is your requirement for the covering of your sin by the love of God. That's what you do. God does everything else. Know your sin, confess your sin, feel remorse over your sin, desire freedom from your sin, and finally, accept God's loving forgiveness of your sin. In other words, believe it. In other words, have faith. God calls us swift young camels, become entangled in what she does. Awkward as we travel, tripling over ourselves, falling again and again, and unable to move forward without stumbling. Yet he loves us. He patiently reaches down and picks us up each time we fall. And he pushes us forward again and again until we mature into what we were created to be. Until we stop walking like mere men and begin walking like the sons of God. Isaiah 38:17 says this, "Lo, for my own welfare I had great bitterness." In other words, I thought very little of myself. "It is you who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness, for you have cast all my sins behind your back." When I had no regard for myself, when I saw no value in my life, when I despised myself for who and what I was, God saved me. He did so by taking each and every one of my sins and throwing them over the shoulder and landing behind him as he walked away from them, giving them no more consideration than a stick or a stone that we would toss over our shoulders during a travel. No longer his concern. It is love that keeps the eye from God from looking behind him. It is love that forgiveness and love is rooted in. And it forgets eternally. It doesn't just forgive. It forgets. Your sins are not tattooed on his hand. You are. When he looks at his hand, he sees you, not your sin. Allow the love of God to empower you to do the same thing. When you look at your hand, don't see the evil and harm they have done. See what God sees. See what God loves. See the pearl of great price that you truly are. See what you will be. See your destiny and allow yourself to rest in peace now before you rest in peace then. You know, the love of God covers all sin, your sins. Knowing this as an indisputable fact is really important, because once you understand and accept this, the next benefit of God's love for you becomes available. Freedom from fear. Peace. The peace we've all been searching for since we fell. Genesis 3:10 says, "He said, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid." We have been living in fear of what we have done ever since that time. We have feared the judgment that we know that we deserve. Psalms 119:20 puts it plainly, and this is David speaking, "My flesh trembles in fear of you, and I am afraid of your judgment." Now next week, no more hiding from God in his judgment. No more fear and shame. When perfect love casts our sins behind the back of God, that same perfect love casts fear from our lives. And I leave you with 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love. But perfect love cast out fear. Because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. Amen.